taped interview with Tommy McMullen, a farmer in Madison County. The interview was conducted by Jenny Scott for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview was conducted at Mr. McMullen's farm on August 2nd, 1983, at 8 o'clock p.m.
His name was Virgil McMullen. He was a jeweler in Richmond until we moved to the farm. And then my mother's name is Sally Holland McMullen. And my grandfather was Joe McMullen. And on my mother's side, that was Holland, of course. It was Lula Holland, was her mother. Now that's about as far back as I can go, because I can't remember too much more.
Were they from here? Your grandparents were from Madison County?
No, they was from St. Louis.
Oh.
And they moved here, and then that's on my daddy's side.
And what they did, where'd your grandfather do for a living, you know?
I don't know.
I wonder if he owned a farm.
No, no. Well, my daddy was raised, I'll take that back though, my daddy was raised after he was born, they moved to Lincoln County, and they lived on a farm in Lincoln County.
He was farmer.
Yeah. He was farming. He farmed then after they moved to St. Louis. Now, what he done there, I don't know.
Now, where did you grow up? Where were you born?
I was born in Richmond.
In the city limits?
Yeah, in town. And we moved to, my daddy was a jeweler, and we moved from Richmond in 48. And made me 3 years old.
You were born in 40.
45. And we moved to the farm when I was four, and that was before the interstate.
Yeah, you moved to this farm.
To this farm right here. I mean, we lived over here in the big house across the interstate.
Oh, so the interstate took part of your farm.
It split the farm in two.
Well, do you still own that name?
No, we still own it, yeah. There's 9 acres in there.
How much land did they take, Tom?
About 17 acres.
How much did they pay for it? Was it a fair price?
Well, I guess it was then. Of course, according to what they took, I don't remember. It seemed like it was about 400 an acre. Of course, we had an acre orchard over there, and they took the prime part of the farm. You know, it was the best part. Of course, this is the back of it. Of course, the back patch and the good cropland run from right here back that way.
To the interstate.
Yeah, back through the interstate.
So for what they took, it wasn't a fair price. And plus splitting.
Well,
the
they
farm.
Took the best part of the farm, yeah.
Plus splitting.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is the house still over there?
Mm-hmm.
Who lives
there? House is over there, and they moved this house, and they moved the barn up here. They moved both of these.
Who lives in that house over there?
My sister lives over there.
Oh, she does?
Yeah.
My
mother lives in town.
Now, your mother taught school, is that right?
Yeah, she taught school.
How long did she teach at Whitehall?
Twenty years, I guess.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And both my kids had her at Whitehall.
Mm-hmm. She used to teach Kingston before.
Before Whitehall?
Yeah.
She's a terrific lady, I'll tell you. There's not many school teachers around like your mother.
Well, she was dead then.
Yes, she was. Well, she did a lot of work in politics, too, didn't she?
Yeah, of course, she was with the teachers' organization. She was in it. And of course, she married into politics last time.
Yeah, but she did a lot of work for the teachers.
Yeah, through the, what is it, the association? KEA.
Yeah, that's, I talked to her for hours about that.
She was a stout believer.
Oh, yes, very strong believer.
Yeah.
She did a lot of good. She got a lot of stuff done, I think. Probably in the
business. She's dedicated. There was one.
Mm-hmm. And you remember moving out on the farm, didn't you?
No.
Do you have
talking
farm?
About it now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have farm?
Yeah, I bought a farm over here, you know, the one between this farm and Madison Village.
Who'd you buy it from?
Brad Chino, colored guy.
Well, now, did he own the Horns place there, too?
No, that was Andrew Johnson. Andrew Johnson owned this place here, and then over where the subdivision is.
Oh, so that was all one farm then?
No, it was split up. He just had this piece of property here, and then over there he had something like 60 acres.
Do you remember when that subdivision started out there? How many acres is there?
60, I think.
Farmland.
Uh-huh.
That was taken
there. I tried to buy it off of him, but it was too high. Then I couldn't. Something like 2,000 acres then.
Well, he sold it for 5,000. Yeah, he sold it for 5,000 for a lot, for a building lot. And it's a fifth or sixth of an acre.
Yeah.
5,000.
Of course, he's got a lot of money in the roads.
Not that much.
No. He's made money on it.
Oh, yeah.
I hate to see him come out, I tell you that. I hate to see him out here. If I know now what I'd do.
You'd have paid $2,000
for it. Yeah, I'd have still been in debt over it, but I'd have bought it just to not have it over.
Yeah, that sure has been a mess, I know. Well, how much was the farm that you bought? How much did you buy?
50 acres.
50. And was that his whole farm? The colored man's whole farm?
Yeah. Yeah.
So how big is your farm now?
Well, this place here is about 90 acres and there's 50 on it over there.
And then the 9 across the road.
Yeah.
So it was a big farm then when you moved out here, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Your farm was big.
Well, mother's got a place down on Moss Fort, too.
How much is it?
280 acres.
Do you farm it, too?
No, I don't farm it. I got another place leased, but it's not it.
Where do you have leased?
It's Beamer's place.
How many?
It's down about 70 acres.
What are you growing all this?
I thought, it's just nothing but hay down there. I got a place that's available.
What do you?
I don't even go up there. I ain't last thing once in 4 years.
You have it leased out?
No, it's just woods.
How much is it? How many acres?
400.
You're not like the man I interviewed in Nestor County. You must own half of this county.
No. We just. We bought this place up there. We was kind of speculating on it. Even when I thought cheap enough. And
well,
thought maybe we might mine a little coal off of it, but it's hard to get anything done now on that. So.
Well, coal's
kind of
slow.
Yeah, it's slow.
Well, when you first moved out here, what did your father grow on this farm? What crops did he grow?
Corn, tobacco, hay, cattle.
What kind of cattle?
Mostly mixed cattle, Hereford and Angus.
Beef cattle?
Yeah, beef cattle. Yeah. No dairy.
But did he sell any of the corn or hay or just grow it for
feed?
No,
just grow it for feed.
And your mother worked outside the home, outside
yeah.
the farm?
Yeah.
Did your father work outside the farm? Or?
Well, he did. Well, until we moved. He was a jeweler.
And then when he moved on the farm?
Then when he moved on the farm, he sold the business in town and moved out here.
And what was his jewelry
shop?
He's
poor all the rest of his life.
It doesn't sound like he's too poor to make on it. Where was his shop in town?
Well, let's see. What's their name? About where Pally's is. You know where Pally's is?
Yeah, down Main Street.
Yeah, it's about right in there.
You just get tired of it?
I guess it's, you know, how everybody wants to get out on the land and stuff. He wasn't really a farmer. Of course, he worked at it, but he wasn't. You know how people from town move to the country and try to farm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you grew your own food then.
Yeah.
You said you had an orchard.
Yeah, we had a big orchard.
So
about
you could grow
acre and a half orchard, I guess.
You sell anything off there?
No, mostly we just a lot of apples went to waste. We never did sell any.
Give them away.
Yeah, everybody had apples.
So his cash crops were tobacco and cattle.
Tobacco and cattle, yeah.
He raised cash some hogs?
Yeah, I raised two hogs. He tried that. I don't think he had too good luck with hogs. He kept a few for a while, and I remember one that's real small with the dogs, but I think they finally sold those.
Well, you remember working, I guess, before you had tractors, before your father had a tractor?
I'm not that old there. 37.
Well, I just turned 39. I don't know. I think that's right. Quite frankly, I'm thinking things. What'd you grow all these crops with?
Mules.
Have one team?
I had two.
Two teams?
Yeah.
How'd you grow tobacco?
How? Uh-huh. Just about like we do now. About the same way.
A little bit harder, wouldn't it?
Not necessarily. You know, tobacco's one crop. It's not like hay. Hay is a lot harder to put up then, but tobacco, there hadn't been much change in it since people started growing it, except suckering tobacco. And
setting it.
Well, setting it wasn't much difference. You had a setter. Now, as long as I remember, we had a team to
pull a
setter with.
So you never had to peg?
No,
any.
I didn't peg.
No,
the only time we pegged some when it was wet, we couldn't get in the field.
Well, you said hay was different.
Yeah, you didn't. We didn't have a baler when we first started. We had a rake, and we had a big bull rake, and it piled it up in a pile, and you take a wagon out there and take a fork and throw it up on the wagon, and then take it and make a rick out of it, out in the field.
How'd you make a rick?
Well, we took a set a pole in the ground and ricked the hay up around the pole until, you know, it gets high enough, and then you start out wide at the bottom and it's there at the top.
Has snakes in it too?
No.
I remember freaking hay.
No, that was hard work.
Has corn changed that much? Growing corn changed that much?
Oh, yeah. Raising corn's a lot easier now. There's not much to it.
How's it easier?
Well, back then, you know, you planted corn. It wasn't bad. We had a planter pulled with the mules, and then you had cultivators. You had a team, one row cultivators, what you had. And you'd plow your corn. You wouldn't spray the ground. Nobody plows corn now.
They spray it before, so you don't have all those weeds.
Yeah, you don't never plow it. You plant it now. You spray your ground, you plant it, and then you wait, and then you pick it, and then you can, everything's automated, where it's not, where it wasn't then.
You don't have to take a hoe out there anymore?
No hoe, no thinning corn. Yeah, thin corn, I've done that. That's a job.
Or clean morning doors out.
Yeah, part
of it too.
Oh.
What do you do with your corn now? Do you put it in silage, or do you pick it?
No, what corn? Now this year I didn't raise no corn, but usually I'd always have it picked and I'd put it in corn cribs. And then when I had hogs before it got hurt, see, I had most of it shelled, and I'd fed it shelled for a long year.
But you take it and have it shelled?
Uh-huh. Yeah, took the town and had it shelled. Or I had a guy one year come here and shell it for me.
What do they have?
Huh?
What do they have when they come out to shell it?
Well, a lot of them,
all
of course, I had a sheller. It was just like a corn grinder, but it was a sheller. You know, you can scoop it in there, and then cobs go one way, and the shell corn goes the other. Yeah.
It has to be shucked first.
No, you don't have to take the shuck off of it.
It takes shuck off.
Yeah, it just shells your corn out, and the cob and the shuck goes one way, and the corn goes the other.
Huh. We had a sheller, but it wasn't that fancy.
Well,
one ear at a time, and
you one ear,
yeah,
hand
yeah.
Jar.
Yeah, that's the kind
for
of
the chickens,
right? That's
yeah.
The way the pigs.
Yeah,
you know, three little pigs.
Well, you couldn't do that.
No, not with as many pigs as you.
No, not that many.
Now, how many pigs did you have here?
Well, when I got hurt, I had about 500, something like that.
How long do you have to keep them before they go to mark?
Right at 6 months. Sometimes it's 5 1/4, and sometimes it's 5 1/2. Another time of the year it's 6.
Was there good money in hogs?
Some years, and some years it's not. Some, right now, farmers lose money on hogs. You know, there's no way they're even breaking even.
Well, what's the soil bite holding to them? Is that going to hurt them? Corn crops and the soil
banks
instead of growing corn.
Yeah, I believe the government's scooched on that.
It's going to hurt the hog farmers. Either.
Well, it's hurting everybody. See, right now, we got a drought. And if it don't rain in the next week and a half on this corn,
it's gone.
It's gone. It won't be fit for silage. And they've done said they've set aside as much as half the state of Texas. And you know how big Texas is. And then, plus, they set up all these sales to Russia and China. And they've already set that up, so the corn's got to go to them. See, it's going to leave the person that's buying the feed for cattle and hogs. They're the ones that's going to be hurt.
Well, the price is
going to
raise, isn't it?
Yeah, the price is going to be sky high. That's right.
Well,
the government really goofed on this.
I've heard a lot of farmers say that. Well, everyone I've talked to, and I've talked to some that have 400 or 500 acres in,
yeah,
you know, in that coal bank.
Of course, there's a lot of it. It's hurting all the United States right now.
Mm-hmm. I think it will eventually. Most of the places I've been going, I've got roosters crawling in the background. Every one of them. Yeah, sitting on the farm.
I don't
porches.
Have no chickens.
You don't have any chickens.
No, don't want no chickens.
Well, give them your choice, Tommy, and I know you quit raising hogs when you got hurt. But give them a choice. Would you rather raise hogs or cattle? For cash?
It's quicker turnover. I'd rather raise hogs.
Can you make better money on them as a whole?
Right now, the 1 year up and 2 years down, no, you can't do it. There's no money in hogs. I mean, you can have a year or two of good. They've been up for the last two and a half years. Mm-hmm. And then this year, they're down to nothing. No telling how long they'll be down. You know, hogs quick. See, it's cattle. You keep them a year to a year and a half, I do. And the hogs quick turnover. From the time they're born, you can have them in the market 5 1/2 months.
Well, if this, with the soil bank and everything, and the corn is going to go sky high, and...
That just puts a dimmer picture on the hog market, and the cattle market, too. That's why cattle's down there.
Eventually, it'll come right back up, won't
it? Well, if it burns enough of them out, you know, and they're forced to sell out, of course, a lot of them will hang on till the very last of it, and try to hold on, and, you know, just where they can be there when it comes back up.
Yeah, pull it back up. Well, what kind of cattle do you have now?
Charley, Hereford Cross, and Angus Cross.
Well,
Hereford.
All three.
Well, I have Charley bulls and mostly Hereford and Angus cows. Angus cows were preferred.
Do you have any trouble with calves? With the
Charley? Not too bad. No, I watch how I buy bulls. I don't get by one that's too big a bone. And background that don't have no calving problem.
Well, there really is an art to that, isn't there?
Well, you got to know what you're doing.
Yeah. I didn't realize until I started talking to farmers, you know.
Yeah.
You just don't mix any Charley and any Angus.
No.
Which do you prefer out of them? Do you prefer them cross-flapping?
Yeah, I prefer Angus bull, and Charley bull and Angus cow.
Why?
Well, they sell better.
Are they heavier? They weigh more?
No heavier than a Hereford. I believe a Hereford is, of course, a good Hereford cross. They sell good, but they match up better. Angus do, I think, with a Charley bull. I believe they match up good, and they just top the market usually when they sell them.
Well, most people have, or used to have, Angus. All of a sudden, you see everyone has Charley.
It's faster growing.
Yeah. vegetables.
Yeah. And they sell better. If the packers, if they can get a calf, well, the feedlot, if the feedlot can buy calves, weighs 500 pounds, and when they get them to 1,300 or 1,400 pounds when they're finished and go to the packing house with them, if they can get that calf out a week and a half, 2 weeks sooner, over 20,000 or 30,000 head, that's a whole lot of money saved.
And a lot of storage.
Yes, that's right.
Which is the best beef? If you were growing one of your own.
I don't know. I've tried them all. I usually kill a... Last year, I killed a Charolais. The year before that, I killed an Angus. Just straight Angus. Calf of ball, maybe. And...
Can't tell that much difference.
I can't... If it's fed right, I can't tell the difference in none.
So the Charolais weighing more and about the same quality.
Of course, you get a solid black calf, you know, solid Angus, he won't grow out near as quick unless he's awful good, and there's not that many good Angus around. And if, usually they'll end up with more back fat, more fat on your steaks and your meat, I mean other cuts, and you have a lot of extra waste. And the packers realize that too.
And the Charolais
is
just bigger all around.
Yeah, they grow faster, and they're a little leaner calf than the straight breed. Angus or Hereford.
Hmm.
And they'll dress out a little bit better. And
make better beef.
But
do you have any problem with Herefords and Van Maryville? Someone told me that Van Maryvilles were higher with... Herefords than any other breed.
Well, the only thing I've seen about the Hereford, of course, any purebred, if you get into any straight purebred, I don't care what it is, you're going to have more trouble. Because they're...
Finer breed.
Well, a hybrid, like what I call a hybrid, you know, crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Not especially a hybrid, but a crossbreed is more vigorous and... more immune seem like it to being sick than straight breeds.
That's straight.
Yeah.
Well, somebody had told me that he couldn't afford Herefords anymore because of the veterinarian deal, and he had started crossbreeding, and he was using Charolais and Herefords.
Well, that's probably true. He's probably had a straight breed, and he might have had some men breeding in it.
Well, crossbreed, you just get the best of the two.
Yeah.
Best quality of both of them.
Anytime crossbreed, just like hogs, if you'll two-way or three-way cross, your hogs will do a whole lot better.
Well, now, what kind of hogs did you have?
Mostly York sows and York and Hemp cross with Duroc bulls. Three-way cross.
Not a hog is a hog here.
No. There's as much to hogs as anything. Of course, there's more, too. A hog... There's more diseases that hogs can catch, I believe, than any other animal alive.
Is that right?
They're susceptible to anything that comes down the road. There's 15,000 diseases you got to know if you're going to raise hogs.
I didn't know that.
Oh, it's the worst thing in the world.
Kind of turn them out and let them go.
Well, that's the old way to do it. Of course, I had a farrowing house and a finishing floor. And that's about the only way when a pig hits the ground, it never touches dirt. You know, it stays on concrete all its life.
Hmm. That's what you have to do to make money
out of it. Well, you can make the money that way, but it's long. People that raises hogs and feed them corn and no supplement, hogs will get to market, when I'm talking market, 240 pounds, they'll get there in about 7 to 8 months. Where I can get one there in five and a half. Yeah.
So you're saving all that feed and making the money.
The only way to raise hogs is to give them all they'll eat all the time. Clean, fresh water. That's all I want.
Well, yours had that out here. And when we first moved, I was seeing many pigs in my life.
I had everything full when I got hurt. This farrowing house was full up here. I had 20,000 there, all of them had pigs, and they had the nursery, I call it nursery back there, where we weaned them and put them. It was plumb full.
Isn't that an awful lot of work?
It is. You spend an awful lot of work. You spend an awful lot of time in all.
A lot more than
you have. Yeah, I spent total, I guess, of a, you can ask my wife, I'd say, when my sales pigged in the winter, of course, your winter pigs is the highest pigs, and I'd spend oven. When they started pigging, I'd say I might be in the house 4 hours of a night. And a lot of nights I'd stay all night up there. I wouldn't come in. Yeah.
But you don't do that,
okay?
No.
It's
not nearly
as
much work.
It's not near as much work as hogs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I've had, when I got hurt, there was 3 people up there feeding for me, and they would feed around 4 hours a day, and they couldn't keep everything going. Of course, I was a little more organized than they were, and I knew a little more about it. A lot of nights, just regular nights, I wouldn't come in at 10:30, 10:45.
I don't know if it's worth it or not. Well,
I enjoy it.
Yeah, if you farm, you farm.
Yeah, I try.
When did you have your accident? What do you care to talk about?
I don't care. It's been 4 years, January.
Has it been that long?
It's been, this will be 4 years coming January.
Yeah. You seem to have done real good.
Well, it took a long time. Still not over.
Not as long as a lot of people would. A lot of people would.
Still going to the doctor over.
Well, you're up and running around, it don't
take. Yeah, that's right.
It didn't stop you from farming.
Yeah.
How many head of cattle do you have now, did I ask you
that? I've had about 100 head.
How many goes to market every year?
About 40, 45, something like that.
How much tobacco do you have?
About 7 acres.
7 acres. Yeah. How many
is that? That's about 18,000, 19,000.
How many work hands do you have?
No. Mostly myself and my nephew takes care of
them. The two of them takes care of.
He helps. He gets part of the tobacco for helping me. I pay it all his expense. I give part of the tobacco, and he helps me also.
You don't have any tenant farms?
No. No, I never did. I used to do it all myself. Only time I had help was when I put my tobacco in.
Tobacco.
I put most of my hay in myself. Every once in a while, I can get some help. It's easy to get help now than it used to be.
Why?
Well, the way everything is, you know. Economy's bad and everybody's looking for a job, and it's pretty easy to get help right now.
Well, if they cut down on the welfare, which looks like they might do, it's going to be a lot of help there.
Yeah, what don't get stolen? You know.
Yeah. Thieving does get kind of bad.
If the people can't get a job, they're not going to starve. And if they're not going to starve, they're going to steal or they're going to... I used to have a place rented down on 3rd Street Lane, and I had 2 or 3 calves killed and skinned down there. You know, they just skin them out. Yeah. They'd skin them out and just take them. Take the meat and leave the head and shut in the skin.
I didn't know we'd gotten that bad.
Yeah, it's going to get worse, too, if things get worse. Of course, I don't look for it to get that bad.
Well, if they do cut down on the welfare, a lot of those people would rather steal than work on the farm. Well, how much is farm labor? How much do they charge now?
It's all prices. Some work you do on the farm, you can get by with about between $3 and $3.50, and when it comes to house and tobacco and
that's
cutting
the
house, it's around $6.
An hour.
Yeah.
How much tobacco can a man cut in a day?
your average cutter, your average cutter will cut around 750. A good cutter will cut between 8 and 1,000. Good cutter.
Sticks.
800,000 sticks, yeah.
So it's worth it.
Yeah, they can, if they cut the sticks, and if they cut with a stick and they get 7 cents a stick, they can make $70 a day, easy.
That's good money.
Yeah.
That's more than me and you are making, isn't it?
And most of it's tax-free anyway.
Yeah, because it's paying cash.
You have to, most of it. But they won't help you if you don't.
Most of it are on welfare.
Yeah.
So,
most of my hands I hire, they won't accept a check. You have to pay them in cash.
Are they from around here, people you hire from around here?
Some of them. Some of them's from out of town. They come in, you know, to work. Some of them from Irving, some Jackson County.
Looking for a job.
Yeah, they come down about 15th of this month on through September, and you can. They just go through the country hunting help.
Work to make a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about farmhand. And you don't hire anybody helping the hay now?
No.
So you're back?
I roll on my hay now. Since I got hurt, I bought a roller.
Is that easier?
Oh, yeah, there's nothing to it.
Is it any trouble to store or anything?
No, it's like a lot of the rest of it. If you get a baler that does a good job and you do a good job rolling it, it keeps good.
You don't have a problem with it riding?
No. As long as you keep kids out of subdivision, I'll pay. I seen about 15 over one day on top of that hay, boy, and they were tearing it up. And once you break it loose on top, it'll start rotting down through it, you know.
As the moisture gets to it.
The moisture can get down in. Of course, they don't realize that. They're having fun. I don't blame them. It's just getting caught.
Yeah, but still.
Kids will be kids.
I'm glad mine's up now. 15 and a little bit bigger, but for 3 years. He thought that field was the grandest thing that he ever found in his life. You must have awful problems with that.
Yeah, it's bad. I try to scram, of course. I was kidding myself. I know how it's like. You know, you sneak around, you tried to.
Try everything.
Yeah, you try everything, but. Yes, the people tried to scare me when I was little, and they did scare me.
Yeah, they did me too.
And I tried to do them the same way, and that kind of helps a little bit, I think. They think I'm Mr. Mean, I guess. Yeah.
Well, if that keeps them away, gosh, that's good.
They see me coming, they're really moved.
And all ages and sizes, I
yeah.
know. Well, there must be, what, 250, 300 kids over there?
Lord,
there's that many on our street riding
eight wheels. I had a calf that got shot here a while back. It was under here and kept swelling up. And I didn't know it until it done got down and I checked it and there was just a little bitty bullet hole underneath it. It was about a 500-pound calf. But I didn't know it was. Now I've seen some over shooting rifles. I never have caught them, but I've heard them and then go over there and they're down the creek shooting.
It's like parents would feel kind of funny about letting their kids go out with a rifle.
Parents don't
have them. Subdivision. Well, have you lost anything else? Do you have a problem with stealing from these kids, or is it just vandalism?
This little thing, mostly it's just vandalism. I don't have no problem around here. They don't come up to the barn. Don't seem like it. Most of it, you know, is just tearing fences down. And going
having trouble with motorcycles?
I did it one time, and I had to lock all the gates. You know, they was going through one gate, and they'd leave it open right all the way through. I even had some up here at the store. They'd start in right here beside the store and go all the way through. Never did ask. Of course, I wouldn't let them. They never did ask. They just go through and leave the gate open, run all the way back to the subdivision, through the farm. So I had to lock all the gates.
Somebody put a stop to them riding motorcycles. Lights go on.
over in the subdivision. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah,
state police over there.
Yeah, they got a bunch of them one day. The little kids. Some of them can't get their driver's license until they're 18 because they're...
Is there a...
They were 14, 15-year-old boys.
That's slow down.
Parents are having fits, but that's... You know, you're not allowed on the road on those things.
You're not supposed to be.
Yeah. So, a bunch of them have been caught. When you were growing up, Tommy, what did you do for recreation? Well, you're not that old, I know.
When I was young.
Where'd you go? Yeah.
Oh, I fished and I hunted. That was mostly what I done. I played a little baseball when I was Pony League and Little League, but that wasn't nothing like being outside and fishing and hunting.
Being a kid.
Yeah. Just, you know, going over the farm, just picking up rocks and mostly, I spent my time fishing and hunting, I guess.
What'd you do when you started dating? Where'd you go?
I went to town.
Movies?
Yeah, movies. And, that's about all there was to go, I guess. I don't know of anything else. We'd go to somebody's house and just sit around and talk and play cards, things like that.
What do kids do now?
Don't worry about it. They still go to town.
Same thing.
You good kids go to town, sit around up there at McDonald's. Of course, when we was growing up, it was Jerry's in Richmond. It was Jerry's driving.
There on the north end of town.
Yeah, where
town,
the chiropractor is.
Yeah.
And now it's McDonald's. You good. Of course, some of them, you know, like to get out and get high and drink. Of course, that was the same way. It was that way then. There wasn't no drugs or nothing, you know. Nobody never heard of drugs.
Yeah,
you didn't.
Well,
you
we
didn't.
Done.
No, there wasn't no drugs.
Yeah, when I was in college, you know, cannabis.
Well, when
was
I was
illegal,
in college, well, not beer. Of course, everybody drank beer when I was in college.
Yeah, but I mean that was.
Yeah.
That was the illegal thing
yeah.
that we did was can of beer, not. I didn't even hear of drugs.
Well, I didn't either.
Sure do now, though.
Yeah, that's right.
You went to school at White Hawkins, didn't you?
White Hawkins.
And it was already a big school. You didn't go to one room school.
No, it was school. See, I went to old White Hawkins when it was down here.
It blew away.
Well, they tore it down.
Oh, they tore it down.
Yeah.
The new one blew away, didn't it? In
the tornado? Yeah, well, it tore the roof off.
Yeah,
I went to old White Hawkins.
Did you go to church when you were young?
Tech Street, Baptist.
Was that kind of a social thing for young people at that time?
Well, it was for our family because we went on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And then every time there was a revival, we went to the revival.
Every night.
Every night.
That's right. Was that kind of a social thing for the kids, though? Did religion draw them there, or did the social aspect of it?
Well, it was a little of both. Seemed like it was, you know, when school was out, that's about the only place you got to see your friends was at church.
Now, has that changed, do you think?
Oh, yeah. Vehicles changed all that. Seem like it. You don't, people go to church now, seem like it is. I don't know. Kids still enjoy it, seem like it. They around people they grow up with.
But not
like people's not close like they used to be. Don't visit. They don't. People don't visit at all.
What's caused that? Greed? Are we all that greedy? We're working for money, or what's caused
that? Well, it's a lot of people. I don't know. You get in the habit of not going someplace, and you work, and then you come in, and you're tired, and then
you just don't go and visit like.
Well, you know, you get set and working and coming home and staying at home, and then you just don't get up and go like you used to.
Yeah, it's just habit more.
Yeah, and then you get in the habit of not going, and then first thing you know, you're not going to see somebody, and then you're seeing them in town.
Yeah.
Once of course, we growing up, you go to town once or twice a week, and that's it.
Yeah.
And
everyone went at the same time.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, did you have a car when you were... 16?
Oh, my parents, I drove their car.
You weren't living in a car.
No, I saved some money. I had some cattle, and I worked out, and I saved some money. I was 17, I bought me a car. I bought me a truck.
Car. Did that change then? Where you went and
no, everything? I still went about the same place.
Oh, did you?
I didn't. Of course, I might have went a little farther or a little longer. But,
stayed a little longer.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't have mom and dad there to have to bring you home. So
yeah, that's right.
Stay a little longer.
Yeah.
The kids now, it seems like the parents go one place, the kids go another.
That's right.
All the kids have cars.
Yeah.
And family units kind of...
It's kind of broke up.
Broke up, hasn't it?
Yeah.
From what we knew as a family unit.
That's right. Family's not close like we used to. Some families are. I think are still close.
You think maybe as many as were then? There's just so many people now?
No. Families aren't as close now.
I don't think so either. I think you see all these kids going all their separate ways at 16, 17 years old.
Well,
we just
parents kept a closer hand on most of the kids when they were growing up than they do now. And teachers were more strict, too.
Mm-hmm. Teachers were like your mother.
Well, you had order in the class, and you didn't say nothing. If you said anything, they yanked you up and whipped you.
Oh, yes.
And when you got home, you got a whipping for kids and a whipping in school.
And
yeah.
Now it's the teacher that
the teacher ends up getting the whipping.
Right, the teacher gets balled out. But children had respect for parents, more respect than they have now.
I think they do. There's still a lot of kids that have respect, and there's some like they used to. It's just I don't know how many generations it's got to go before it changes, but kids that was brought up with parents that raised them strict, most of them raise their family now strict. And maybe after two or three generations, that's going to soften up, and they won't be as strict, or grandkids won't be as strict on the great-grandkids, but I don't know, maybe it'll change completely for them. Of course, I was raised strict, and I try to raise mine strict.
A little bit more lenient than...
I think
we're all a little bit more lenient.
I'm more lenient than my parents was on me.
Yeah, me too. I guess we can see their faults. We can see where they did wrong.
Well, I can't see too much of what they done wrong, really, unless it was correcting me sometimes when I shouldn't have been.
That's my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we all have those times. But I think we're all a little bit more lenient.
We are.
A lot of parents are going to have to settle down and say, you know, hey, we're going to have to change things here. We're going to lose the family altogether.
Seem like the children that's raised on a farm is more be inclined to be more. I don't know whether being settled is the word, but
or
discipline, more discipline. I don't know what the word. You know, they're more. Well, you can go to school. Of course, now. A lot of you, if you say that, it's not exactly like that. Because you'll say one kid out of the room and say, well, he's one from a Kenny. It might have been backward, and their kids is terror of the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it seems like they're more discipline. I don't know whether it's because they're away from other kids more than the ones that are living closer together or what it is.
I think it has a lot to do with time. Kids that grow up in the subdivision or in the city streets.
It takes one bad apple to spoil a whole bushel.
Right.
You know.
But if you live on a farm, there's always something to it.
Well, that's true. That's part of it.
Time is filled.
Yeah, he's not looking for some trouble to get into all.
Right. There's not nearly the boredom.
But see, when he gets tired of running out here in the field chasing a rabbit or something with a BB gun, he's gone to the pond fishing. That boy mine is. And he fishes and he fishes and he fishes.
So there's no boredom for him.
Yeah, that's
not
right.
Not like these kids, these Well, on
they,
the
they don't sit around and they can't find nothing to do with right. something like that.
Right. Well, when mine go on the farm, they think, you know, it's the grandest thing in the world. And mine go every summer.
Well, see, kids do.
Yeah. They just, you know, there's something to do every minute.
It is.
It's the best life in the world.
It is.
It's the best life in the world. But Tommy, what do you think about the future of farmers? If, say, I go out now and buy a farm, 200
You won't make it.
Can I afford to even buy it?
You can't afford to buy it, much less stop.
If I bought one,
I haven't seen a farm sale in the last 10 years. I haven't seen one farm sale that will pay for its sale by farming. I haven't seen one farm sale.
And
I wipe and wash this clothes.
Huh? Would it even pay the interest?
That's what I'm talking about. Paying the interest, much less your principal.
What's going to happen? Young people's not, unless they inherit it.
If it's not inherited, they won't. They can't get into farming unless they farm for somebody else. They can be a tenant farmer, and that's going to be it.
And they can't make anything. They
won't.
Anything.
They can't make enough to make a down payment on a farm and keep that farm in their hands and pay for it. They can't do it. There's no way.
Well, what's going to happen to all these farms?
Well, it's...
A lot of people...
Doctors, lawyers, Diane.
Corporations.
Corporations don't buy a lot around here, but they do buy a lot. But people that's making their money elsewhere are buying farms, using it for tax purposes. And that's been going on forever. And that's the only person that can buy a farm to make it.
So there's no chance for
a farmer to make it as a farm.
Deciding they're going to be a farmer and going out and buying a farm.
You can't pay, around here you can't pay $2,500 an acre for a farm and farm. And be a farmer to and farmer. You've got to have an outside job that's paying big money that you can... That you can count as a tax loss.
Dump it into the farm.
Dump it into the farm. Because they got to put their money somewhere. If they don't, the government gets it. Okay. And farm is the best outlook for them, and they're the ones that's hurting farmers right now.
Small farmers are killing them.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Because they're putting the government in a position now that they say, well, they're abusing the depreciation and the tax write-off that the farmers have. They're abusing them to their fullest extent. And when they go to doing that so long, the government's going to put a stop to it. And when they do, the farmers going to fall on their face.
And the doctors and lawyers still got their income to fall back on.
That's right.
And the farmers not going to have. A lot of farms around here are being broken up and sold, just like the one behind me for subdivision.
Yeah.
Worn out the road, I noticed.
Prime land, I heard, gone back in 70.
Did that belong to that big house?
Yeah, it was part of the hanging farm.
Are they going to make a subdivision out of it?
I guess, unless it's a commercial building site, I don't know.
That's a shame. That's one of the better farms.
Look, it's all over like that. It's Fayette County's put a stop to a lot of it. They got a good zoning law over there.
We need one here, don't we?
Yeah, we sure do.
Well, since I've been out here, which is 6 years,
look at this farm here. Now look at this farm here. Subdivisions all the way around. Right here, behind me, and on the side. Mm-hmm. All the way around.
And how long has that been? Something that long, has it since it started?
This was the first one, I guess it's been about 8 or 9 years.
Very short time, and it just takes farming.
Well, I can't farm it at its fullest extent right now. You know, it's just like hogs, you know. Head hogs, and they go where and spread manure. You know how that smelled, or you probably remember that. How it's done. Well, I got more cussing over that than anything in the world.
Well, I don't know how many people over there grew up on the farm. I'd say not many of them.
I'd always try to catch it with the wind blowing away, but it seemed like every time it would, it changed direction.
Yeah, it had to have changed, yeah. By Tommy, the minute you started. But if they lived on the farm or had ever been around the farm, that's something you expect.
Well, it is bad odor. I can see it.
It lasts for a day.
Yeah. But if I was lived over and I had a public job and I come home the evening and I had to smell that, well, I wouldn't like it either.
I wouldn't like it, but I wouldn't go to any extent to do anything about it.
Well, there isn't much they can do about it.
Right, except complain.
Yeah. But it's always, it's...
Well, are you in the same position as most of the farmers in Madison County? As far as subdivisions being around you, isn't that about the same as every farmer?
Anymore? Yeah, you've got to get way off to ever get away from it, or... Well, it's everywhere you look, though. It's not as bad. The all farm's not as bad as right here, but there's subdivisions around. There are a whole lot of farms here in the county. And we're losing prime land every year to subdivisions. And it's gone forever. It's never be back to farm.
Looks like somebody stopped and realized that's the property
that's feeding
us.
Yeah. You know, they won't
tell us too late. They just want that money.
That's right. Of course, anybody sells land, they want to get every penny they can out of it. And I don't blame them. I mean, if you're selling a farm and you've got it, you're selling a farm, and you're quitting and you don't care about it, your return or your... Of course, most farmers don't ever retire. I don't know if farmers ever retire.
Right.
Farm till they're 90 years old.
Where'd you get that?
Yeah. But they're trying to get every penny they can out of it. And subdivisions is
the best way.
Well, that's the only way it's going anymore. If it's got a good road frontage, it goes to subdivisions.
Well, I noticed in the paper last night there were 5 or 6 auctions for farms in Madison County within the next couple of weeks. And these are all...
They're all split up in small sections.
Right. 5 or 6 different tracts. Split up, maybe 120 acres split up in 5
tracts. I'd like to know how much land is lost in this county for the last 7 years, how much land's been lost to subdivisions. And it's all prime land. It's all prime land. It's not bad, rough land either. It's all what's been lost has been good land. It's close to town or it lays good.
Well, just like this
year,
5 miles out of town or 6 miles out of town. And canoe acres and Lexington Heights, Madisonville.
Down Jack's Creek? Look down Jack's Creek. How many farms have been subdivided down through there?
Well, that one where Tate's Creek Estates runs off Jack's Creek down there. Shoot, that was a big farm.
Fountain Park, that was a big farm. All the way through there was.
On the right-hand side of that road especially. And that's just been subdivided in the last
4 years.
4 years or something. Well, now, did all that farm belong to that farmhouse?
The farm on the right, where they're building on the right then. Now, the farm on down there, Burl, Garlic Lane, it was another farm. It was part of the Parks farm.
So, that took the left-hand side?
Yeah.
That's a lot of land.
Well, there's people dying every day, and the land is... There's a lot of it bought up right now that's not subdivided, it's going to be. They're holding till better times and they're going to be subdivided.
That's right.
And I know several farms like that right now.
Well, if you hold on to your farm, there aren't going to be many farms around.
Well, it might not be in my generation, but it might be in the next. And of course,
farmers just don't seem to have a future.
No, I don't see it. I don't know where it's going to stop at.
The more I think about it, the more people I talk to, I realize farmers just don't have
it. How many young farmers are there? Unless you inherit it, you're out.
Don't stand in front.
You don't stand in front.
How much would it cost to, say you had the land, if you had 250 acres, how much is it going to cost you to buy equipment and stock it? Buy the equipment you need and run
the
beef.
The equipment. unless you bought used stuff, old used stuff, if you went out and bought new equipment where the government helps you on, they give you 5%. Well, yeah, a 5% kickback. If you go out and you buy new equipment, a decent sized tractor right now is about 20, and you'll have another. The tractor will be a big expense. You'll have $60,000 in equipment and the stock of 250 acre farm of cattle. That'll be another $50,000.
Barns?
Oh, if you had to build barns, you'd have to get it.
Well, a young farmer going in has to do it all.
Yeah. Well, most of them, you had to run down. Barns gonna cost you enough barn room to house, say, 250 acres. You get 10 acres to back up, it'll cost you $50,000 for enough barn room to put it out. Plus, that's not even counting getting your crop in the ground. No, it's not counting your seed, corn, fertilizer, nothing, fuel or nothing. That's just that stuff. You've got close to 100,000 out there before you ever put your crop in the ground.
And you're just not going to clear that much that first year.
No. You're not going to clear much the second, the third, and the fourth. It's going to take about 9 years before you'll ever get your head out of water at all.
Well, how much profit do you make on tobacco?
Tobacco's the best crop farmers got right now in this part of the country.
How much profit? Say you have 500 or
5,000. Well, if you go by what UK says, you're making around, it's costing you around $1.20 a pound to get it to market.
It's only bringing $1.80 or $1.85.
Of course, I cut down on that a lot. You know, if you use your own labor and you do most of it yourself, and you can cut that in half.
So add to that profit.
Add to that profit.
Well, no, the sales this year, it's going to cost you, what, 12 or 15 cents more to sell it. Is that going to hurt the small tobacco farmer or the large one?
Well, it's not going to hurt the small one. The small one's got other income. He's working other jobs, small one. It's a medium-sized farmer. That his basic income is off of farming. And he's the one that's going to be hurting. The one that's farming for a living, and that's the one that gets hurt. The one that's farming on the side, he's not going to get hurt too bad.
Clay farming.
Well, not necessarily. There's a lot of them work 9 to 5, come in at 5 and work to 9. You know, and they farm on the side. They'll raise, I know several guys that raise 4 and 5 acres of tobacco. Got a few cattle.
And a
full-time job. And they're the ones that can make it because they've got income to fall back on.
Mm-hmm. Well, it doesn't sound too good, especially with that tobacco this year and then the soil bank for the corn. No hogs. It's gonna hurt the hogs. It's gonna hurt the cattle.
Hogs don't hurt. Cattle's hurting right now. I sold cattle 9 years ago higher than I'm selling cattle right now.
You're kidding.
9 years ago.
Well, why is it, Tommy, if you go to the grocery and you buy the beef?
Well, I don't know who to blame.
It's higher than it was 9 years ago.
That's right.
That's as high as it's ever been.
Well, most of the companies that sell it, like Kroger's and them, they're showing a bigger profit. It's from the time it leaves the guy that finishes cattle out. It's from the finishing point there. From there to the tables where the money, it changes, everywhere it changes hands where the money's made.
Does unions have anything to do with that?
Yes, of course it has. It has to. When you make $12 an hour for cutting up beef, and
you don't make $12 an hour for growing it.
Now, if you make $12, $14 an hour for cutting it up, plus all their fringe benefits, it's got to hurt. Mm-hmm. Of course, the unions help. It's two sides of every coin. It's helped the person that is working it.
Yeah.
But it's hurting other. It's the unions, I believe, are going to be the ruination of the country anyway. They've just about helped now.
Well, they started out with such a good purpose.
Like it was a good purpose.
Coal mining unions.
That's right.
And so on. They all started out with good purpose. But they seem to be taking the money.
Well, they've got too big a hole right now. They're one reason why we've got so much unemployment right now.
Mm-hmm. You don't go on strike if you're making $15, $20 an hour.
Well, you don't have automation. General Motors was putting their cars together for $10 an hour instead of $21 to $25 an hour. They wouldn't have near as much automation because they would be working more people on account of they could get a car put together cheaper than they could with a robot. And they look at that robot now in the long run, well, they're taking $20-some an hour. If that robot lasts him, I don't know nothing about it, but if it'll last him 10 years, it's okay for itself. Plus, they don't have to fool with the union on that robot and everything else.
No fringe benefits.
That's right, and that's what's hurting. They don't know, the union don't know that they cut their own throat on that because their companies is moving out of the country every day. Going to India, going to Japan, going to Hong Kong. They're moving it out where they can get cheap labor, and they can show more profit.
Well, they can turn right around and bring it back here and sell it for.
Bring it
profit.
Back here and sell and it, make it more profit. That's right. Yeah.
And maybe better quality, because of
it. I don't know if it'll be any better quality, but it will. They can show more profit, mm-hmm. And if they can show a little more profit, they can afford to sell it cheaper.
Sure they can, if they can outsell what we're building here.
That's right.
And with the unions.
If they can go to China and make a pair of jeans for $5 and go through two jobbers time it gets here and tariff and everything and sell those jeans for $10 here, and if they make the jeans here and it costs them $9, they got a time it goes through three people to get to the store rack, they got to charge $12, $14, and which one would you buy?
That's going to be...